Good morning, everyone. Before I start, I would like to have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we worship you in the name of Jesus and ask you now to fill our empty hands and see to it that we receive what you really intend us to receive and to keep throughout the week and beyond. We ask this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. It's again a great joy to be with you all here this morning, to worship the true and living God, to open his book again, to listen to his voice. I'm convinced that this is the most relevant thing we can do. As you may have noticed, we will be looking at Psalm 125 today. What it says is a very comforting and uplifting message. The merciful Father and source of all comfort no doubt put it here in this book to uplift those of his children who are feeling down, who are being troubled by various frightening circumstances. A little experience to begin with. Quite some time ago, I came home from work feeling very discouraged indeed. I thought I had completely failed as a lecturer and was tempted to give up the job the Lord had entrusted to me. Carol, my wife, noticed that. She didn't say, "Let's open a bottle of wine. You'll soon feel better." That's what many would have done. Clearly, she followed the prompting of the Holy Spirit. She said, "Sit down here. I've got something for you." I did sit down. And she opened her Bible and started reading Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. Carol followed the advice given in Ephesians 5:15-21, the text of Benjamin's message last Sunday. She didn't tell me to get drunk on wine, as many might have done. She wanted me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so she gave me God's word. And I can tell you, I was uplifted indeed. Miraculously, I find, my discouragement, my feelings of inadequacy vanished. Turning my attention away from myself to the one who holds the universe, to the Lord I belong to, the Lord who surrounds his people both now and forevermore, this had a very uplifting effect on me. It made me go on doing the job he had given me, trusting in him whose resources are inexhaustible and will never fail us. As a result, Psalm 125 has been one of my favorite Bible texts, and I've sent it to many people for their birthdays or other occasions. That incident also demonstrates how relevant the Ephesian passage is in everyday life, and how being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking to one another with psalms are interconnected. That's why I had it included in our scripture reading today. In everyday life, of course, we may be faced with all sorts of different, more or less severe challenges than just feeling down because of disappointments at work. And Psalm 125 has a powerful God-given answer to every of these situations. There is, for instance, the apparently dominating influence of sin, the accepted standards of behavior today, the widespread rejection of God-given moral laws, not least in the area of sexuality, or the glorification of material gain at the expense of character, or rating popularity and guild acceptance higher than accuracy, both in general and, alas, in academic contexts. All of this can be quite unsettling and troubling, yet those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. There are also the disappointments we may experience in our personal lives with family, spouses, children, parents, or the loss of a loved one, health problems, waning strength due to age, or also frustration at work, school or university, or of unemployment, or the battle for financial security, or of insurances and banks letting us down. Still, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. And more seriously, there is the threat of persecution for Christians in many parts of the world. In fact, the threat of losing their lives simply because they are Christians. How precious to them and to us the knowledge that those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Let's now have a closer look at the message of Psalm 125 and its biblically given background. We didn't hear the title in the German Bible, and in the Hebrew Bible, the title is part of verse 1. There it says, a song of ascents. Of course, the precise meaning of the original word for ascents is hard to determine. Still, it is a song that seems to be composed especially for God's people on their journey up to Jerusalem, to Mount Zion, the place that stands for the presence of the Lord their God. We are not told whether the people originally addressed come from their homes, somewhere in the Holy Land, going up to Jerusalem for a festival, or they're returning from other countries to which they were exiled or dispersed, nor are we told where they are at the moment and what their situation is like. But a careful reading of the text clearly shows that they are troubled and their spiritual or physical security even is threatened. Humanly speaking, they are shaken. That's what we can conclude from our statement, like Mount Zion, that cannot be shaken, because people were afraid of being shaken. In fact, they are in danger of disappearing altogether. Our text says, but will stand or remain forever. So they were afraid of sort of disappearing from the scene. And then the scepter of the wicked holds sway over the land allotted to the righteous. That's what we read on, further on. Those rejecting God's authority seem to determine what was going on, even in places where the godly rightfully live. The situation seems to be so serious that unless God himself intervenes, even the righteous might use their hands to do evil. That is, even the godly might be lured into acting against God's will, as verse 3 hints, and to turn to crooked ways, go away from the Lord, so that the Lord will banish them, or would banish them, I should say, with the evil doers. The situation addressed in our psalm is very much like the one you and I as Christians are in today. And the God-given answer is as helpful today as it was then. As believers in Jesus, we are God's people. Thanks to the new covenant in the blood of our Lord, who died that sacrificial death on the cross according to God's gracious plan to be celebrated in the communion later in the service, we too are on our journey up to Jerusalem. Not to the one here on earth, but the heavenly one. Read Galatians or the letter to the Hebrews. We are not looking for a city here on earth, but in the world to come. Now as Christians, as those belonging to God's people, we belong to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. Hebrews 12, verse 22 makes that clear. As we travel through life, whatever we do, if we are true Christian, this is our destination. And on our journey up to the city of the living God, we too are faced with a great variety of troubling challenges, as we saw a few minutes ago. Humanly speaking, we too are to be shaken. Our spiritual life as Christians is under attack. Why the Lord allows such troubling, challenging challenges to enhance our spiritual health and to display his glory. James 1, 2 to 4, or read the whole of the epistle, first epistle of Peter. The Lord allows such things so that our spiritual character is improved and in order to display his glory. But at the same time, our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, is bent on making us doubt the goodness of the Lord. We are in troubling circumstances. How could that happen to me if the Lord is good? And to push us into giving up our faith altogether as these troubling challenges seem to grow worse and worse sometimes. With the scepter of the wicked threatening us through subtle pressures, as in today's liberal world in the West, or through direct persecution, as in many parts of the world, continuing what has happened since the days of the early church. In principle, the same applies to the disappointments we Christians experience in our personal lives, while our sovereign, holy, loving Father in heaven allows such things that are often very painful in order to enhance our spiritual health and to display his glory. Our enemy makes every effort to make us doubt the goodness of the Lord and to give up our faith altogether and return to a godless way of life. That's why the Apostle Peter says, chapter 5 again, 8 and 9, be self-controlled and alert. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Similarly, James, when we are tempted to be unfaithful to our Lord, chapter 4, 7 and 8, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. And in fact, that's really what Psalm 125 is all about, along with much the rest of the Bible. Let's see in more detail how this message is conveyed to us in Psalm 125. In verse 1, the inspired author says to you and me, as we have heard several times, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures. Now it's important to see who is like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Not just anybody, but a particular type of people, those who trust in the Lord. That is, those who regard as their ultimate security the true and living God, maker of the universe, Yahweh, the one revealed in the Bible, not any divinity that we could think of or that we sort of create for ourselves in our imagination. On the basis of his covenant with them, these people who trust in the Lord are his people. Verse 2, they're righteous. Verse 3, it says they're those who are good, those who are upright in heart. Verse 4, and in other words, those whose life is genuinely right with God. And this psalm calls these people Israel, the true Israel. And as we have already seen from the perspective of the Bible as a whole, we are part of all this. These include you and me, for whom this God, through Jesus, his Son, has become our Heavenly Father. I have recently been really blessed by the Lord's Prayer, going from word to word. Sometimes when I'm having difficulty falling asleep, and then I sort of cite it to myself in Greek, go from word to word. Pater Hemon, ho entois, uranois. And just think of the very first word, Father. Through Jesus Christ, who called us to follow him, we have the highest personality as our Father. And our Father, not just my Father, but there are many who belong to the family of God through Jesus Christ. And on top of that, another thing, he's a heavenly Father. He's not an earthly Father making a lot of mistakes, even with the best of intentions, but he's the perfect one in that realm that controls the universe, heaven, where everything is controlled, and the one who is absolutely holy. So wonderful to have him as our Heavenly Father. I think it's a pity we sometimes, when we pray that prayer, that we go through it so quickly. It's worth thinking of every word. After all, it's the Lord Jesus who gave us that model prayer. Now back to our psalm. It is this type of people, those who trust in the Lord, who are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. And the question, of course, arises, are you yourself among these people? Do you trust the Lord? Have you become a child of God through faith in Jesus? If not, on behalf of my Lord, I can cordially invite you to come to the Lord Jesus and to join those who are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. Trusting in the Lord characterizes God's people. And that's something especially highlighted here. Let's have a few moments looking at that again. It is further underlined by the grammatical form in the original. It's really something that should go on, that should characterize these people, not just sometimes in certain situations putting their trust in the Lord, but they continually trust in the Lord. And it's even highlighted then in the Greek version, so the early people understood it very well, hoi pepoi thotes epikurion. Those who know Greek will perhaps get the point. It is something that was reached and characterizes the people. They do that because it's essential to trust in the Lord from the beginning till the end. Continually and consciously putting your trust in the Lord, declaring Him, saying it in your words. You are my real, ultimate security. Not money, not weapons, not reputation, not people, not even friends, not my own achievements, not my reputation, whatever. My ability, even spiritual ability. Again, I experienced that in times of sickness when suddenly I felt I could no longer have the necessary faith. I always had thought before, in order to be close to God and please Him, I had to do that thing called faith. But when you are weak and sort of cannot think properly anymore, you know that it's the grace of God. God Himself, who is the one holding you, not even your ability to have faith. Though we should have faith and we want to have faith. So these many things I listed may be blessings granted by the Lord, and we should thank Him for money, for military protection, reputation, people and friends. But we should never consider them to be our ultimate security. Only the Lord can and will do so, give us ultimate security. He holds our lives. His resources are inexhaustible. And He truly loves us, as He demonstrated through Jesus Christ on the cross. So those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. They are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. Ultimately, though humanly speaking everything may go wrong, they cannot be shaken but endure forever. They are like Mount Zion. Now, what would you have thought if the psalm had said, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Lenin, Mount Everest, like Mount Kilimanjaro, or like Matterhorn? Of course, these might have conveyed some of what is intended, yet by far not all of it. The stability, but that stability of these mountains is limited, as we've noticed in Switzerland, with the summers getting warmer and the ice melting and parts of the mountains coming down. Okay, of course, much more than tectonic qualities are meant here, or favorable geographic situations. Even when reference is made to Mount Zion, it's not the tectonic quality of Mount Zion in Jerusalem that is in view in the first place. As the main fortress of earthly Jerusalem, the mountain ranges surrounding the city had an important protective role to play. So even humanly speaking, Mount Zion was fairly secure and stable because of the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. But here we are told that Mount Zion cannot be shaken but endures forever. And now verse 2 explains what is really meant. As the mountain surrounds Jerusalem and gives Jerusalem stability, so the Lord surrounds his people. It's the presence of the Lord that makes the difference, now and forevermore. That's why Mount Zion cannot be shaken but endures forever. The Lord himself is eternally present with those belonging to Zion. He is the one surrounding his people, you and me, both now and forevermore. Continually and consciously putting your trust in the Lord, declaring him to be your real and ultimate security in the midst of the troubling, challenges you are facing is the answer. He surrounds you as one of his people, both now and forevermore. Many Bible passages that have been a comfort to me over the years say that, take the end of Matthew, that Lord Jesus says, I will always be with you till the end of the earth. Yeah? Or Psalm 23 verse 4, even though you walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, he is there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. One of my favorites from Hebrews 13:5. Or another favorite, probably of all of us, Romans 8:39. Nothing whatsoever will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, because of the fact that the Lord, the Holy God, surrounds his people now, both now and forevermore, we are guaranteed that the scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. Those rejecting God's authority, trying to determine what's going on, whether threatening us through subtle pressures or through direct persecution, they will not have the last word. In God's perfect time, they will disappear. This may be sooner than many of us may think. Certainly at an individual level, life is incredibly short. Younger people don't believe that. I know that. I didn't believe it either when I was young. But now as I approach the end of the journey, as I'm on the way there, I feel how fast life passes. And we are very near to that experience when the scepter of the wicked is gone. But also, perhaps at a more general level, we don't know the hour of Christ's return, but we know that the final part of world history is approaching. All the disappointments and suffering in any form in our personal lives will be gone too. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, from the eyes of those belonging to the Lamb, the central truth of that comforting book of Revelation, verses 17 in chapter 7 and verse 4 in chapter 21. When we read the scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, otherwise the righteous might use their hands to do evil. The NIV, to my mind, is a bit confusing here. It says, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. I don't know, I don't understand that sentence, honestly. Maybe those whose mother tongue is English understand that. For then, what does this then refer to? Of course, it refers to the situation. Just imagine the situation that the scepter of the wicked will remain. So I find the New English translation better. It uses otherwise. Otherwise, the righteous might use their hands to do evil. But it's true that the scepter of the wicked will be gone, And the Lord sees to it that his people do not go back, give up their faith, return to a godless life. Let me summarize. Those who trust in the Lord cannot be shaken, no matter how troubling the challenges they are faced with at the moment, but they endure forever because the Lord himself surrounds them. He sees to it that at the proper time, the scepter of the wicked will be gone. And he makes sure his people do not give up their faith and return to a godless life. In conclusion of the psalm, the inspired author invites us to join him in doing what is most helpful as God's people are faced with troubling challenges. You know what I mean? He prays. The conclusion of the psalm is a prayer. He does so on the basis of the truths he passed on to us in the previous verses. Those who trust in the Lord cannot be shaken, no matter how troubling the challenges they are faced with, but endure forever because the Lord himself surrounds them. On this basis, he prays, and we may pray thinking of the troubling challenges of God's people here and in other places. He says, "Do good, Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel." In other words, Lord, let those who are good, because they belong to you, the truly good one, experience your goodness. Especially help those who are faced with troubling challenges at the moment to continue to trust in you, O Lord, to continue to declare you as their real and ultimate security. Let them be aware of the fact that you surround them both now and forevermore, and that the scepter of the wicked will soon be gone, and that you, their Lord, is protecting them from giving up their faith in you and from returning to a godless lifestyle. Returning to a godless lifestyle would mean banishment with the evildoers. In one word, grant your Israel, your true people, peace. I think that's a summary of the prayer. Peace be upon Israel, peace. And Paul always adds peace and grace. So that's, I think, included. Peace, and with it, all-embracing grace. How wonderful, how marvelous. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Shall we pray? I thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that you help us to renew our determination to make you our ultimate security, to trust in you more than in anything else, and thus experience encouragement and an eternal future through your grace. In the name of Jesus, amen.